One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ramble. I've always had two thoughts. One is I don't have to be friends with everyone, and everyone doesn't have to like me. Once you really think about that, it's totally fine.
I feel like all my life I learn by observing other people and other people's mistakes.
Honestly, the difference between being a 27-year-old virgin and being a 29-year-old virgin,
Not that much.
Are you both in therapy? Are we all in therapy? Are you?
I am not in therapy.
Okay, I got dumped by my therapist.
What?
I don't project. That's not in my skill set.
I'm just going to move back and forth.
Yes, you can project. Daddy, what did mommy have to do?
It's like listening in a mirror.
What is the ear equivalent of a mirror? Not for eyes, a mirror.
A headphone?
But I guess
it's
an echo. It's an echo.
An echo.
Yep.
We're using those ear mirrors. That's what headphones are. And echoes. Guys, welcome to this episode of the podcast. You have three very educated, very intelligent women here today. It's me, Courtney Miller. We got Monica Vasandani.
Say it again.
Vasandani?
Yeah, you got it right.
Yes! Yeah! I just shouldn't have hesitated.
Now spell it.
Vasandani.
Whoa. We've come a long way.
Sorry, I farted on the podcast. I'm proud of myself. And then we have Sarah Whittle.
Yay, you said my name right.
Yes. So we're doing an advice podcast today. It's going to be fun. We were just talking about weird stuff just now.
A lot of weird stuff.
We really ran through all of the female body weird stuff.
We did a body check, female body check.
We had a tweet that went out asking if you guys wanted some advice from three very qualified human beings.
Where are they?
Yeah.
Well, what? It's my.
Where are they?
I don't know.
It's my birthday this week, so.
Oh yeah!
When this party,
congratulations!
So, you know, we're wise. I'm wise.
And you're turning 21.
Yep, exactly.
Oh my god!
I can finally drink.
So wise.
I was thinking about the other day how it's crazy how when we're little or 13, how we think we literally know everything and that we have it all figured out.
Yes.
And even me looking at myself a year ago, I'm like, wow, that bitch.
I think that goes up until you're 25.
Oh, it has to.
At 32, I've never felt dumber.
Yeah, actually. Between 25 and 30, life really humbles you. Because they're you thought you were hot and young knew your shit. You're wrong.
I think my brain's developed enough to realize how stupid I am.
Yep.
Yeah.
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 Definitely. Okay. So, we have some tweets from you guys to answer. We were joking. There's one of these here. Who said? I'm just going to throw it out there because it's funny. The how to hide a body. And my first initial instinct was, don't hide your body. Love your body. Don't hide it.
How can I hide a body?
Yeah. That was at Screenplay. So, that's my answer. Love your body. And if it's a dead body, love that dead body.
Yeah.
That's bad advice.
Okay. Just canceled myself.
Courtney comes out as a necrophilia.
Oh, boy.
Don't knock. No.
No. Keep going. Sell me on it. Pitch me on it.
No.
Yeah. I want to be sold on this.
Courtney Miller cancels herself for the Smoshcast.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first real question we're gonna ask is from Jack Trash. They ask, is college worth it?
Ooh.
You guys both went to college, actually, legitimately.
Yes. Yeah.
Attended,
yeah.
Completed.
Yeah, did you complete college?
Yeah.
What'd you get?
I have a bachelor's degree in business management.
Hell yeah.
From a fashion school.
Hell yeah.
Did you go to FITM?
Yeah, I did.
Oh my God.
Calm down, Courtney.
Sorry, I can sign whatever you want. You probably told me this already. But like, I just, Fidham was always the commercials on TV, so it seems like a famous school.
It didn't feel famous when I was there.
What did you study?
So I have one degree in product development, my associate's, and I have my bachelor's in business management. Yeah.
So what did you initially want to get into?
I had no idea. So I did really poorly in high school. I graduated with a 2.8 GPA.
Ooh-wee!
So there were very few schools I could get into.
Nice.
But my parents wanted me to go to a four-year school. I actually super regret going to a four-year school.
Really?
I wish I had just gone to community college, saved the money.
That's what I did.
And kind of figured it out from there, yeah.
Yeah, I got a two-year degree, an associate's degree from a community college in Wyoming, because also I was offered full ride scholarship. So
whoa.
Not only for speech and debate and theater.
Wow, dude, that's awesome.
Super nerdy,
no,
yeah.
That's awesome.
So and then also Wyoming had a scholarship that if you stayed in school or stayed in state for college, they would pay you extra money because they want their people to stay.
Wow.
So I did that for 2 years and got my degree, and then I went to a four-year college. So that saved a lot of money, didn't help me from still the massive amount of debt that I had, but
sure. Are you glad that you went to college?
Yes, I am. I think, but I do think it's not for everyone.
Yeah.
So I think like college was really worth it for me because I always knew I wanted to get into media or television or some type of production like that. So I knew I would just have to like, I don't have to get a degree, but it's better to get a degree. So that's what I did. And I also wanted to like go out to New York.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was kind of the best way to do it. But it's not for everyone. And especially financially, like when I was 16, 17, money didn't seem like a real thing.
No. Yeah.
It was like, so it was like, oh, $50K a year, $45K a year, $60K a year. Like those all seem like, oh yeah, I'll be making so much money when I get out of college. You don't
right.
for a while, for a very long time, especially if you don't stay in the same industry or whatever.
Or if you're doing just the bare minimum.
And exactly.
And at 17 to be like, yeah, I'm going to go into this massive amount of debt is like, you know.
That's just like a societal American problem too,
right.
That they want to profit off of education and young children. But that's a rant for another day. But
another day.
Is college worth it? I think it's not for everyone. And I would actually love to see you know, generations and coming up and going into more trade schools, because at the end of the day, like, we still need carpenters and plumbers and,
yeah.
like, those
yes.
kind of, like,
marine
technical.
Biologists.
Exactly.
And you make good money doing that stuff. But the thing is that I think in most industries, in order to even compete for the job, you have to have a four-year degree, because now it's so ubiquitous, like
yeah.
so many people have them.
It depends on the industry, because I have a friend that she went to college, but I think she only got her associate's degree, which is totally fine. And then she went into retail, and she's on a high level. She's like a general manager mm-hmm. of a store and making like lots of money, and she doesn't have any student debt. So some careers rely on you just diving right in and doing a good-ass job.
Yeah, that's true.
And then mm-hmm. some you need, like, a little bit of technical school for. So it's, like, it's all up to you. It's really what you know, what your goal is.
Yeah.
But if you don't know, if you graduated high school and you feel lost and you're not really sure what you want to do, go to community college.
Yeah.
But
just get a two-year degree.
I would say that if your parents are paying for your college, if you're lucky enough for that, then it's a great opportunity
milk that shit.
To get a good degree, yes. Get out of the house.
Yes.
Like, learn to be an adult, but on a much lower level where mm-hmm. you're, like, kind of feeding yourself, like, kind of doing your own laundry and stuff. But it's a good a stepping stone before
yeah.
you're cast out into the real world.
Take advantage of it,
yeah.
but get something out of it.
I feel like nowadays there's this whole, like, surge of people wanting to be influencers and YouTubers.
Mm-hmm,
I
mm-hmm.
like, I can't help but wonder if like there's going to be a shortage of like scientists and mathematicians or marine biologists like in the future, because mm-hmm. those just are not being thought of.
Yeah, and I mean, I do know that some industries are already having that, like pilots, for example. There
oh,
might
yeah.
be in the next 5 years a shortage of pilots, because during like, because they're required to retire at a certain age
mm-hmm.
and all the people that came from like the wars and during that time, like they have to retire now.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people aren't going into that industry because it's very expensive
yeah.
and hard to get into. So I could easily see it being a thing.
Did you know there's only 8,000 police people staffed in LA County?
Only 8,000?
Oh, that's not many.
They have a crazy shortage right now. I mean, probably because, like, I don't know if political climate has anything to do with that, but... And I feel like kids think that in order to have that, like, fun, creative lifestyle, you have to pursue being a YouTuber or an influencer, but that's not always the case. I know so many people who, like, are working coding at Google, and they're, like, the coolest, like, most entertaining, like, awesome person. Like, you don't have to have... Like
just no, and if you want to become a content creator or something like that, you can still pursue a job outside of it. Simply Nailogical is the perfect example. Yep. She's a crime statistics analyst, and then she does YouTube on the weekend, and she also just had her like own nail polish line open up last year.
Yeah.
So you can do it all. It's just like really doing it in a smart way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, using that the something to pay the bills for that dream hustle. Yes. I think that's so important. Agreed. I went to, I only did half a semester at community college, but it was, I think a lot of it had to do with my ability to learn is just, I can't do classes once a week or so of a subject. And like, also the campus just felt very unhappy to me.
Mm.
And so when you are picking colleges, it really is more important than you think. I feel like when you're picking a campus to stay on.
And yeah. Like, and I found a really nice community in my community college. Like there are people in community college that kind of like stay there forever and take classes forever. And some people just take classes for fun. Maybe they're later in life. But for me, I know I had an end goal. I want to get a degree as soon as possible. Let's get all those requisites out of the way. And then I can see where I can go next.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Heck yeah.
So I hope that covers it. I'd say, like, money-wise, it's tough with college. You know, I almost got a scholarship for UCLA
for
pole vaulting.
Whoa!
Did I talk about this already?
Pole vault?
Yeah, that was my favorite thing in high school. I did track for like 7 years, I think, from like fifth grade all the way through high school. Pole vaulting became my main thing, and like,
whoa, that's so cool.
Our coach would take us to UCLA like a couple times a week to practice with the college pole vaulting coach, and he was calling me his new recruit. I was feeling real good, but like our coaches at the time were at the high school were like really like kind of. Really bad conduct. They got fired the next year. They did bad things. They're manipulative and like wouldn't let me do the events I wanted to do. They even tried to like not let me have a boyfriend. It was really weird. So they kind of turned me away from track senior year. I just ditched it. And then I also was like, damn, I can't afford college unless I do have a scholarship. Right. And then by that point, I'm like, I haven't done sports enough to even. Mm-hmm. So it's like by then it was too late, but...
Man, I didn't know you could pole vault. That's so cool.
Oh, that seems so very scary.
I'm so not physically able at all that it just blows my mind.
I can't let go of the idea of, like don't run with scissors. Like, the idea of, like, running with, like, a large pole. Stick.
Like a fiberglass thing, yeah.
Ooh, and then you jam it into the ground, and then you, what, go up? I don't understand the physics of it. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I'll teach you sometime. I feel like I could pick up a pole and get right back into it.
I'm sure you could.
Yeah.
Do you think Monica and I are really made for the air? I don't think
so. Pole vaulting, a lot of it, you'd be surprised.
I like to stay planted.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised how a lot of it is just form. It's not even like, I mean, there's sprinting like and upper body strength do have some. You could totally do it with your upper body strength and your climbing ability.
Oh, yeah,
I bet you'd really surprise yourself. And pole vaulters are short, so.
Oh. Oh, my God.
Are you calling Monica short?
No, sorry.
Are you calling me a pole vaulter?
Monica, you're so tall. You could step.
Now you're just being patronizing. You'll never make me happy. I'm mad no matter what you say.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Speaking of I don't know how I'm going to transition.
You don't have to segue. You
can just go next tweet.
Speaking of being tall versus short.
Go on.
This next question is about how to stop comparing yourself to others.
Oh.
So was that okay?
Was that a good transition?
Thanks, guys.
How to
don't
stop
look at each other like that, judging.
Why? We're comparing each other to each other. And we're like, how do we stop this? No, I think when you grow up.
Hardcore Haas is the one who asked. He said, how do you, how do you combat, I can never tell with the Abbeys and stuff.
Yeah.
How do you combat self-deprecation and comparing yourself to others, believing you're not good enough? Okay, now get back. Now get back in momentum. Swing in.
How do you stop? Well, the first step is you acknowledge that you're doing this. And it's just not mentally healthy. Mm-hmm. So sometimes when you're growing up, you just got to quit doing stuff and really make an effort to do it. So it's so easy with social media and scrolling through your feed, seeing how cute this girl is and how successful this person is, how tall this person is. It's very easy to compare yourself. And if you do compare yourself, then take away what you're comparing. Is it you wish you were more fit, or you wish, and is it a wish that can even be fulfilled? So it's just something that you have to like really stop doing. And with the self-deprecation thing, I think self-deprecation. I think self-deprecation is good at a healthy level. I think if it's actually you spotlighting, putting a spotlight on an issue that you actually have, that's when it gets a little dangerous. Mm-hmm. So knowing the difference between just poking fun at yourself and actually hurting and bullying yourself.
Yeah, and when you get into that space of beating yourself up, bullying yourself, this is a lot easier said than done, but I think if you kind of remove yourself from that situation and imagine that you are saying this to a good friend, I think some therapists go with the, like, yourself as a child thing, and really think about if you would let someone treat your best friend this way, your sister, brother,
1,000%.
Whoever. That way, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like growing up, I had this kind of blind confidence. I think it was just I was so oblivious of my flaws or oblivious of the things that I was doing was weird. So I feel like I'm lucky in that way. But also, like, being oblivious, I think it's always good. It's like, yeah, self-deprecation is good. I think being aware of yourself and, like, when what you do or how you affect others is fine. But, yeah, there's a healthy level of doing that. And also, if you're comparing, like, everyone is comparing themselves to everybody. Like, there are people comparing themselves to you. Like, they maybe want features that you have, and then you have no idea. Literally, you will never have any idea, like, how everyone in the world feels about you. So there's no point in trying to be any certain way.
And also, if you're constantly looking to compare yourself, you're always going to be kind of disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for the negative, you will find the negative. If you look for the positive, you will find the positive. Mm-hmm. So it's like, obviously, we're all work in progress. We're all working on something, but you know, you can still like yourself. And so how do you create yourself to be someone that you like?
And if you're comparing yourself to someone, I think try to compare yourself to yourself in the past, and just make sure that you are being the best version of yourself, and that might help you feel a little bit better if you're like, oh, you know, I don't like that I do this one thing. I'm going to work on that. And if you can look back and say, hey, I used to do that thing a year ago that I think was a bad behavior or whatever, and I've eradicated that, then you can celebrate that.
Yeah.
With that being said, you can still have, like, body goals and, like, career goals and, like, stuff like that to look forward to, like, aspirational. I want to, you know, be like X, Y, and Z. But do it in a manageable and healthy way.
Yeah, totally. We're not saying don't change. No point in changing, because, like, there's all, like,
you have to evolve.
I have a huge anxiety of, like, I constantly, like, I'm just trying to, like, figure out how I can be better. And it's, like, it can be really hard sometimes when that's just, like, a weight you have. But it is good to want to improve. And the fact that you're even asking the question,
you should do it.
You should, yeah, just, it speaks positively to yourself that you're even wondering that. I don't even know why I said it that way.
Yeah, you're trying to better yourself.
Yeah. That will kind of segue to this next one. That's a good one, because this one is how to maintain friendships with people who have changed.
Ooh.
This one's from at Artist Taman, and they said, I haven't felt comfortable with some of my friends lately, and I feel like they're changing into someone different, but I really don't want to stop talking to them or hanging out. How do I handle these changes?
I wonder what they mean.
I mean, I've had a lot of friendships. Like, this is the thing. People, friendships, relationships, they all evolve. They all change for better or for worse or the same. But that's just a part of life because everyone's on their own journey and you can't expect everyone to be going on their same on the same path. Mm-hmm. For me, I've always, like, had, like, two thoughts. One is I don't have to be friends with everyone and everyone doesn't have to like me. And so that's
that's a tough one.
Yeah, but that's, like, once you really think about that, it's totally fine. It's just
it's
like
freeing,
it's like yeah, it's freeing because it's like for me, I don't like mustard. Is it changing my life that I don't like mustard? No. Is mustard fine without me? Yes. So that's how I feel about me. It's like if you don't like me, if you're not friends with me, that's totally fine as long as there's like a mutual respect. Or if there isn't, then I just don't ever talk to you. And two, I don't have to stay with friends, maintain a relationship with someone just because I have in the past. Some relationships can be like seasons where you had a really good time in the past and there are very fond memories, but then the relationship changes over time. Life gets in the way, jobs get in the way, other relationships get in the way. And so that's just a part of life that it's changing and ebbing and flowing. And if these people are changing in a way that you're not favorable, either you can address those changes with them and just say you're uncomfortable, or maybe, you know, adjusting the friendship. Mm-hmm. You hang out with them a little less. You hang out with them in smaller doses and smaller group sizes. And it's not anything to, you know, it's not a breakup. It's just friendships change.
Yeah, and I think it's okay to just, you know, spend less time with them. Well, first, like, evaluate whether you still like these people, whether they are still bringing something good into your life, or you just want to hang out with them because it's what you're used to. I felt this in a big way when I had a kid, because there are people who are not comfortable hanging out with a kid, or they just, you know, we are in different places in our lives. And it took us a little while to find what worked for us in terms of setting aside time to hang out, not getting my feelings hurt that I wasn't being invited to stuff anymore. It took a while to get there, and I think that's okay.
That's totally okay. Yeah.
Yeah, there's rough patches all the time. And I'm curious, like, what they mean about changing, whether it's, like, taste and stuff or, like, what they're into, or, like, just literally their values as a person. But
right, or if it's like, oh, my friends now like to vandalize cars. Like,
It's like,
not tight.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, you want to surround yourself with people that are, like, positive and bring a positive light to your life. I've had friends that were changing, and it was to the point where they were very much affecting my life negatively. Like, they were hurting my day-to-day. I felt like my mental health was, like, slipping. So sometimes you do have to cut people out of your life, and it doesn't have to be in a negative way. You don't have to be like, you're done, snip. And if there are other people in your life that you enjoy spending time with more, like, that's okay. And I think that's such a great, I don't know if the word's analogy, but the mustard thing, that's great. Like, mustard is fine without me.
Yeah.
I had a friend who had something similar to that, where I was so nervous and sad that, like, I can't go to this party. I feel bad that I can't go. And that friend was like, well, in a way, that's selfish thinking to think that everyone's going to be so affected by you not attending this thing. Because, it's not like nobody cares. It's
I mean, it's like, it's knowing that, like, you know, you're an active part of life in general, but you're not the only part.
and like I said, like, there are friendships with rough patches. Sometimes, like, people just get weird for a little bit, but it's fine. You and your friend Monica, you guys worked that out, and, like, things are still, like, good, you think?
Yeah, I mean, we're still friends. We had to kind of get past the initial hurt of not talking as much and feeling like this person doesn't like me, and rather realizing that it was the circumstance of just being at different places and being okay with someone going from being a best friend to, like, a tier two friend that, you know, we're not as close as we once were, but we can still leave it in a place where we still have warm feelings towards each other instead of letting it get to the point where we're not addressing stuff and it's just blowing up.
Yep. I had a similar thing too, because it's like 4 years ago, I was single, living in LA by myself, no pets, just a roommate that I wasn't really friends with. Like, that was my life. So obviously I had a lot of time for different friendships and going out mm-hmm. and all this stuff. And fast forward now, my time is even more divided up. And so, you know, friendships have had to be adjusted, but that doesn't mean there's any less love there. It just means that, you know, we're hanging out a little less. And so I think luckily with this friendship, I'm able to be open and honest with her that I'm like, you know, my time's more divided up, but that doesn't mean there's any less love. That doesn't mean mm-hmm. that I don't want to hang out with you. It just means that, like, life is intense. And that's the thing, too, is, like, invest your time into relationships that you really want to foster. Yeah. Like,
yes.
I'm not saying you can't go to coffee with someone and just, like, you know, be very casual, but the older you get, time goes by faster. Time gets divided up even more. Really, you don't have to hang out with people that you don't want to invest into.
No.
Just because mm-hmm. you guys had a past. And that sounds super brutal, but, like, mustard will be fine.
Mustard will literally be fine.
Mayo will thrive.
No, mayo's my buddy.
Yeah, I feel like in high school I bounced around in friend circles a lot, but by the end, it's like freshman year, you feel like you're friends with people just to have someone to sit with at lunch. Mm-hmm. And then my senior year, I had like one friend that I was just like.
You could be a little more discerning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're focusing on yourself. Dude. Let's switch it up a little bit. Right. We've been doing friends and like changing stuff, dude. Let's freaking change it up. Let's go. This one is related to what to do when you and your partner enjoy different things.
Ooh.
Uh-oh.
Wow. That's me for sure.
This tweet is from...
I sent that in because I want to know.
Is this your fake Twitter account?
Yeah.
So this one's from @WizardDallin. I love my girlfriend, but we're polar opposites in taste and personality. In parentheses, she's outgoing, loves people. I'm introverted, don't like people. She likes the city, I like the countryside, etc., etc. Any advice on finding things to do together?
Yeah. It's fun to bring someone else into your world, knowing that they are also going to bring you into theirs.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's one of the 100%. Great things about dating someone who is different from you, because mm-hmm. you get to kind of live this second life through them.
Yeah, and you get you get to like peek behind the curtain. So like how opposite would you say you and your wife are?
Totally.
Really?
Or when we met, at least, yeah. Like I was definitely going out all the time. I like to make friends with everyone. You know, I'm just very social, and she was like, if she could just sit at home and read and not talk to anyone, she would be totally fine, whereas I go insane. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll get stir crazy after 6 hours at home.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Maybe I don't like myself. Oh, God.
we don't have time for that, Monica.
No, let's go there. I'm ready. So it was nice to, like, there would be nights where I would plan ahead, we're going out tonight. She would be in because she would have enough time to prepare herself mentally, mm-hmm. but she knew she was doing this for me, and then mm-hmm. maybe we skip the next party and plan something at home, so the introverted person feels like they're still doing something they enjoy, like a puzzle or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that, you know, just keep trying different things. And
honestly, like, I think the Christmas party was the first time, like, I had spent, like, a considerable more amount of time with your wife mm-hmm. than before, just, like, drive-by. And, like, Claudio and I had so much fun with her. She was so funny. And so she was like, I would have assumed that she was the outgoing one.
No, I know. She's super.
She just dove right in.
Yes, she's super funny. And she's like, she's awesome to talk to. She can get along with anyone. She just doesn't want to.
Well, I'm glad that our interactions was like something she didn't want to do.
Yeah. I really didn't want to talk to them, but I did.
I did this for you.
I agree. When I dated Claudio, he was kind of an introvert too, because he was, you know, he's like obviously a foreigner and new to the country, new to the language. So he also didn't speak the best English either. And so he's an introverted guy.
He's come a long way,
He's come like a super long way. Yeah.
Yeah, he knows so many words.
He knows all the words almost. He knows I do. For sure.
Can you just like read a dictionary and be like, yep, I know that one.
But yeah, he kind of has like he's an extroverted introvert, and I'm like an introverted extrovert. I think if you have a natural curiosity about your partner, which I hope you do, you want to find things that make them tick. So it, for Claudio, you know, he's like a huge film buff, and I like movies casually, but, you know, he wants to go see this weird movie. I'll go with him, and I'm fascinated to see when he lights up about stuff.
Mm.
And so it's kind of like that vice versa thing. And then finding things that you guys do have in common and really do those. Claudio and I love to eat. We love to try new restaurants. And so that's what we do. I think if you're dating a carbon copy of yourself, that might get boring.
Yeah, I agree that it's cool to do something that your partner likes, just purely seeing that light in their eyes and just being like, yeah, I'm enjoying this because you enjoy this. I personally prefer to be with someone that we're in the same industry or where we are more similar and on the same wavelength in terms of like what we like to do, what we want to do with our lives. Just because I feel more understood in that, just me personally. I gotta say, sometimes, like, and I think that's so great to make it work and just try each other's interests and find compromises. But also, like, if sometimes I feel like people stay in a relationship for reasons that they don't really need.
Yes.
So if this person is, like, so not, if you guys are so not on the same wavelength at all, and that's what you prefer, like, don't just stay with, mm-hmm. like, the first
honestly,
few words of this tweet are, I love my girlfriend, but.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean,
no,
that's
you're
fine,
right.
But.
It's like, I mean, this is a super dumb, minute, like, little thing, but it is like, I love getting my nails done.
Mm-hmm.
All my nails fell off, so I'm not gonna show them right now. But I love getting my nails done. And one time I was dating a guy and I had like pink glitter nails, and he was like, oh, it looks like a little kid's hands. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is, I don't like that you don't like that. I like to do this.
Yeah,
and
that's then, who you are.
Yeah, and on the other side, like, Claudio doesn't care about nails, but he's like, those are so cute. I like those. I like that you're doing. He's like, every time I get them done, he's like, send me a picture. What is it like? And it's like, he obviously doesn't love them, but he likes
so
that I
cute.
Like them, and I, like, get joy out of it. So
yeah, that's so important.
Yeah.
Because if somebody's shitting on the thing that you like,
yeah.
There's a difference between, like,
been through that,
that thing is dumb versus that's not for me, but I like to see you happy.
Yeah.
And if your partner's not giving you that I like to see you happy thing, then what
exactly.
what are you doing together? If you don't like to see the other person happy, then there's no point.
Yeah.
So I think there's both ways. It's sometimes a relationship's not worth it, but if it is worth it, check those things out that they like.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This one's really sticking out to me. 27-year-old virgin.
Ooh. I love that movie.
what is that one called? 40 year? That's 40. Okay.
It's actually one of my, it's the movie that I've seen the most.
Really?
Yeah, I love that movie.
God damn. I think I've only seen it once all the way through.
It's so hilarious. And watching it over, like, I hadn't watched it in like 5 years probably, and I just watched it recently. I'm like, damn. This is so funny and dumb.
So this one is from at Yoohoo Dumb Poo.
Great.
Dumb Poo.
Yoohoo Dumb Poo.
It's
literally
how my grandpa, my Korean grandpa, would say dumb. Dumb Poo.
Dumb Poo. Okay, so he said, or they say, I'm 27 and still a virgin. Mm-hmm. It didn't bother me at first, but lately I noticed that when I bring it up to guys, I'm either fetishized or they're scared off. At this point, I want to lose it for the sake of losing it, but
aww.
I also don't want to lose it to some random. Advice would be nice.
Ooh.
Wow, that sucks. I'm sorry that you're being looked at in that way, and then also they're being scared off. That sucks.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one. I dated a virgin for a while. Claudio. But I dated someone who was an older virgin. And it's funny because he didn't actually tell me for a long time. I figured it out on the second date.
Oh.
This story is so funny. hopefully he doesn't listen to this podcast. So we went on our like first date and it was fine, but like it was like an okay Cupid date. This was many, many years ago. And he wasn't like super flirty, but he was very funny and I had like a great time. So I was like, oh, because usually, you know, guys are very flirty on online dates.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that's fine. Maybe he's nervous. Second date, he was like, hey, come over to my house. We'll go hang out with my friends or something like that. And I was like, oh, okay, we'll do that. I showed up at his house.
Oh, God, please.
And I was like, what are you doing? And he was like, come help me. I'm building a pyramid out of pennies.
Oh my God.
So he had like a billion pennies at his house, and he was like stacking them like 10 at a time and making like a square, a huge square, like one by one of pennies like in a square. Then the next one he'd go like one less row, so it just was like a pyramid. And that's what we were doing. And in that moment I was like, he's a virgin.
I never told you he fucked that guy.
Yeah.
That sounds so
rad. Let's play with, let's do penny stuff.
It was so funny, and I was like, this is so just like such confirmation of my like just gut thing.
Wow.
But him and I, we kept dating, and honestly, it's intimidating, and you know, just being open about it's really important, like why hasn't it happened or anything mm-hmm. like that. And that's not a judgmental question, it's just like, where are you?
Yeah, it's a person mm-hmm. to person
like where
thing.
Are you at? Yeah, exactly. And some people aren't super sexual, and some people just never had the opportunity. Some people have and they didn't feel comfortable, like mm-hmm. I think everyone's story is their own. I wouldn't fret about it.
No,
I wouldn't worry about it too much. I also wouldn't just get it done just to get it done, unless you feel like the moment's right and that's, you know, just something you want to do.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, like, it's a big deal, but it's also not. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like we make this thing so precious. And it's like, if you want to be someone who's sexually active, obviously be very safe and you know, plan ahead. But, like, it's only as, like...
as powerful as you make
it.
And I think that it's okay to not tell people. I mean, I think that, you know, obviously we want to be open and honest and stuff,
mm-hmm.
but you don't have to lead with that if you feel like people are treating you differently because mm-hmm. of it. If it's something that you talk about or that comes up, and if they treat you differently because of it, mm-hmm. then you can always walk away. And I know that's frustrating if you want to have sex
mm-hmm.
and you see these kind of opportunities slipping mm-hmm. away, but it'll be right and it'll be fine. And honestly, the difference between being a 27-year-old virgin and being a 29-year-old virgin,
not that much.
So if it's something that takes a little bit of time, then
I think that's
let
totally
it take
fine.
Time.
That's so true.
And being open and honest about it. It's like it's like, you know, you date someone and you want to have that open communication with them. So it's like, you know, you can be on, you know, don't lead with it, like Monica said, because that doesn't define you. But if you're having a conversation, you can be like, hey, there's this thing about me. I'm a virgin, but I feel very comfortable that, you know, with you to tell you that. And it's like no pressure either way.
Yeah.
Like I'm not asking for anything. I'm not asking for anything.
Also, I think maybe it's okay to straight up lie. Like, not super duper lie, but...
I've had tons of sex.
No, but just...
Always.
Yeah, you know, the sex way... Let's move on.
The sexy way!
Vampires.
Sex. But it's okay, I think, to just be like, I just like to take it slow.
And
you know, maybe keep some things under wraps a little bit.
Yeah.
It's very, and I think it's so person to person as to why some people are just like, they just didn't find the right person, or every time it was going to, like, there could be just bad luck, or it's not a bad thing. Can we normalize not making someone else's virginity about ourselves?
Yep.
Like, if someone tells you a virgin, that is not about you. That is their thing. It's not like, oh, I can't. It's not your body. Like, you are your own person. You're on your own path. Like, let them figure that out. And like, if you're, I'd say you don't have to like tell everyone when you first meet them, hi, I'm Courtney, I'm a virgin.
Like The Bachelor.
But if you're considering like someone in that way, then like if you feel like you want them to know, like if you feel like safe telling that person, and maybe it's a good sign. If they're getting scared off or if you're seeing that they're clearly fetishizing you, then maybe they're not
flags.
The person to lose it to. I feel like it's a big deal until you lose it, or if you're sexually active and have had sex with other people, then it feels like you look back and you're like, it's not that big of a deal how I lost it. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Everything feels big in the moment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's a story.
Yeah. But don't rush it just because you feel like you have to rush it. 27 versus 29, I love that. That's so true.
And if you're not that type of, like, if you're not a super sexually flirty person and you want to be, then try it out. Try to learn how to flirt a little bit. Try to be that and maybe create those circumstances if that's something you want.
Yeah.
Because I know some people are just, like, scared of flirting and scared of, like, sexual things, and maybe that's why it's happened. I'm not saying in this case, but, you know, work on your flirt game.
Yeah, take some of the mystique out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Like this.
Oh, that's working.
Is it working,
Monica?
Yeah.
Are you sweaty?
Oh, yeah, I'm too into this.
What
Please
about
stop.
This?
Oh, I'm so into it. Everyone stop. Please stop it. I like it too much.
All right. Let's switch it up again, huh? What do you guys think? All right, this one's about being how to stop being a picky eater.
Ooh.
Uh-oh.
What's the tweet say?
This is a tweet say. This is from at @CapnMM.
I'm sorry, what?
What?
That's what it says.
CapnMM?
It's CAPN_EMEM. So CapnMM.
Is it like a backwards meme?
Oh, yeah. Captain Meme. Captain Meme. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You did that. Meme Lord.
Wow.
There she is.
I'm a detective.
There
cool.
she is.
Cool. Next question.
So I guess our tweet said, in a pickle? And so she was like, speaking of pickles, can I stop being a picky eater? I won't even eat noodles or hamburgers. If my food is touching, I'm not eating it. I'm 22.
Oh, no.
I'm too old for this. Emily. That's her name.
Emily.
M-M. Your name. I don't know, think she, maybe she didn't realize it said meme backwards. Well, now she has that.
M-M.
M-M.
Damn. You're missing out on so much.
It's okay if your food touches, dude. It's all going in the same place and then out the same place.
Also, flavor profiles when things are mixed is fun.
Oh, yeah.
So, there is this thing called ARFID, Avoidant Restrictive Food Intake Disorder. It's a real thing. I'm not super duper educated about it. I just know the acronym. That's as far as my knowledge goes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that you can address in therapy if you are really worried about it. Because if it's something that, you know, if you eat foods that are touching, or if you eat foods that are certain textures or whatever, and it makes you feel physically ill, it's like this psychological thing that would be worth looking into if you find that your quality of life is suffering because you're not able to enjoy things that other people enjoy.
But what if you're like a Noah? You're like a Noah who just loves buttered noodles and water.
Dude, like, I think moving to LA and working in LA, I changed my palate completely.
Well, your taste buds do change.
True.
Like, they do change, and like, you know, I may never get to a day where I like mustard. That's totally fine. But
mustard will be fine.
But, like, I was talking about black coffee. Like, I used to never drink black coffee. But a couple years ago when I did a pageant, as a joke, but I had to, like, drink coffee straight up black. And I liked putting sugar and cream. But week one, it was horrible. Week two, a little less horrible. Week three, a little less horrible. And then by week four, I love black coffee.
Whoa.
And ever since then, I've, like, my taste buds have changed. And so I like black coffee. I like things that are a little less sweet, less salty. Like, your taste buds can change. You can get used to it. Just like Monica said earlier, beer. Like, the first time I drank beer, it was, like, horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's, like, my favorite thing in the world.
I'm still not there. I still can't get down with beer.
We'll bully you into it.
You want to bully me?
I can give you some cider-ish beers that you probably would really love.
I probably could transition, like, deeper into the beer community.
Yeah, because I started with, like, fruit beers, and I was like, oh, they're fruity and fun and sweet. That'd and then good. You can, your palate changes. So.
Oh, I full on went for it and started with just, like, the worst trash piss beer. Because that's what was available.
It's like the opposite of quitting cold turkey. It's just jumping right into the thick of it. Growing up, though, like, I legit, especially after my parents were divorced, I was fed very much a lot of just, like, boring, bland fast food, Costco microwave dinners. Spicy was very new to me.
Yeah, I know a lot of people like that.
Yeah, it wasn't until, like, I started living in LA, and then I had a boyfriend that just loved spicy food. Like, just straight up putting habanero in burgers spicy. But a lot of it is, I mean,
like a lot of it is like fear of tasting something that's not good. Like I used to have that issue a lot where I would only want to order specific things at restaurants because I didn't want to risk having a subpar meal. But it's like even Shane's, one of his New Year's resolutions is to try something new every time he goes to a restaurant.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I think I've gotten, I feel like I specifically have gotten a little less picky and I'm trying to try new things as well because especially when you're eating at restaurants or things like that, like, they're
or even just have
a
bite
reason.
Of your friend's food, like just to, if you don't want to commit to a full dish. But it was like same for me. Like I grew up in a like Asian American household, but mostly eating Asian food all the time, and we didn't have a lot of cheese in our. I used to never have a burger with cheese. I used to, and that's probably why I'm lactose intolerant now.
Oh yeah,
but we didn't have a lot of cheese. Now I get down on a cheese plate. Hell yeah! Like I love cheeseburgers, even though you know I'm lactose intolerant. Like. I think your taste can evolve if you just give yourself a little chance here and there, if you're not, like, legitimately suffering.
Right.
From, like,
and if you're not, like, you know, if it is just, like, oh, I'm a little picky, I'm a little, like, turned off by this, you know, I think, one, try something new, like, incorporate new things
into the
every single
routine.
Day so that new things aren't like it's not like oh this one time this month I tried something new and it was gross and I never did it again. Yeah, don't be afraid to do things that you don't like every single day because honestly it's one bite of food.
And find the flavor profiles you like.
Yeah.
And the texture you like because just like mustard now you don't have to like it all. So it's like if you like only chicken nuggets maybe try like fried chicken and then waffles, chicken and waffles. Like,
oh yeah,
like find the flavor profiles that like get you excited and really like be curious about it and see what you like about it, see what you don't like about it. Because if it's manageable and you just don't like certain types of food, that's totally fine. But if you're at a restaurant and you can only have like buttered bread, that's like something that needs to be acknowledged.
I will say though that having things for me, if it's something that's completely new, I'm more likely to be into it versus something that's adjacent to something that I already like. Because if, because then I'm just missing the thing that I want it to be.
True.
Versus being like, this is a whole new flavor, texture, experience. It can be its own thing.
Yeah.
And it's not like, oh, here's a shitty version of a thing I like.
Well, I will say like oysters is like kind of the perfect example because I never liked oysters and Claudio loves oysters. And so he used to take me and I used to just think it was so gross and slimy and stuff. But then they have the, what is it? The mignonette, the vinegar, like.
Yeah, the different like sauces.
What is it called? Mignonette?
I don't know what
I only had oysters once and it was with you guys. So.
But it's like a vinegary and thing, and then it has like chopped up little onions in it or shallots in it, and it's kind of like kimchi-esque or like pickled onions, which I really like. So that was like a great way for me to like make the oyster something that I now enjoy to eat.
Yeah.
Because I knew I liked that flavor.
And it's so true. Like, at the end of the day, it's, like, if there's anything that you can have experience or experiment with that is has, like, little to no consequences is food. Like, and also, like, seeing what your friends eat. Or, like, if you're at a restaurant, like, what is the waiter like? Because it's, it's odds are it's freaking good. Like, the first time I had ramen, Sohinki took me to Jinya. And, like, that was my first time having ramen that wasn't top ramen, microwave shit. So, like, changed my world, changed my life, dude.
So
or a friend showed me sushi, and you're just like, you end up liking it just because they said it was good. I have something else. I feel like I have this thing where I Michael Scott, where I get on a train of thought, and I had an idea in the beginning of the sentence, and then I just forgot it.
I think that's everyone.
Yeah.
We're all Michael Scott. Sick. All right. Next. How do you guys feel about giving this advice? You feel good? You feel confident in your answers?
I think I'm a pretty good advice giver. Maybe not in my own to myself, but I think I'm good at giving advice just because I'm also very humble that I don't know everything. I'm just freaking going, shooting at my hips. Is that what
hip shots?
Old people say.
They still say that. Spitting on your hips.
I'm spitting off of my hips.
Sorry, Kevin.
How do you feel about giving advice?
I feel all right. I feel like all my life I learn by observing other people and other people's mistakes. I feel like it's also, Kevin's nodding his head ferociously right now. So like I feel like giving advice to others, it's much easier than looking inward.
Monica?
Yeah, I just it's just judging in a different way, and I love judging people. So.
Yeah, next time we do this, yeah. I want more tea related like drama questions. Like, I'd love to learn what your guys' drama is in your lives, and if you need advice.
Yeah, tell me all the weird things about your life so I can shit all over it.
Publicly tweet all your personal friends' details like that.
Bethany spilled milk on me, and I think she did it on purpose. Can you tell me how I can
this advice
what's the best advice to bitch slap her?
Elizabeth made my food touch, and I'm pissed.
This advice is questions are only from really bitchy first graders.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Who want to just fight.
Bethany spilled milk on me.
All right, what do you guys want to answer next? We got how to de-stress,
you said jobs, right?
Yeah, we got jobs. You guys want to do jobs?
Jobs.
Okay, you
want to
do how to stay motivated while job hunting?
Ooh.
All right, I love that one. I was a hustler when it came to hunting for jobs.
Dude, me too. Because I moved to LA for a job, and then 4 months later got laid off.
Ooh.
Yeah. So then I was unemployed for a while. How do you stay motivated?
Mm. Yeah. So here's the at Chrissy Furtado 1 asks, how do you not get discouraged after failed attempts at landing a job? Also, how does one get a job at Smosh? Okay, let's answer the first part first.
The first part. Well, stay encouraged, because it just takes one. That's the thing. It just takes one gig, and then hopefully you impress the people there. It could maybe lead to the next gig, and you could build up. Mm-hmm. Or it just takes one gig to learn enough to be like, I don't want to do this. Like, it just takes that one person, that one hiring person, to see the potential in you.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing that sucks, though, is like you can send out a billion resumes and a billion cover letters, and all these things, and not hear anything back. It's very, very discouraging. But that being said, the biggest piece of advice is make your resume one page.
Mm-hmm.
Make your resume easy to read,
mm-hmm.
visually nice to look at, and make it like I can look at it and just understand what you're about, but without going into too many details.
Mm-hmm.
No long paragraphs, no lies. Do not lie.
Yeah.
And especially if you're just starting out, do not lie, because people don't like liars.
No.
They like someone who's honest. And it's like, hey, I'm looking to enter the work, blah, blah,
yeah.
this industry. And I'm really eager and I'm willing to learn and I'm flexible. And that's all people want to hear when you don't have experience.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. I think one thing I learned, and this was in like starting out jobs, like working at a pharmacy, or I worked at like a daycare for a while. When you apply, and sometimes it's just a job application, no resumes, but resume, hell yeah, those are great. Call. Like, after you submit it, then call. If you haven't heard anything, call and be like, hey, just want to check in, because like I've heard that's really good to show that assertiveness and that mm-hmm. you're like willing to, because some people are afraid of calls. And like sometimes mm-hmm. when you're able to do that, it speaks a lot to your ability.
Yeah, I think call or email, I think it depends on the thing.
Yeah.
Some job postings are like, do not call. And you
right.
know, like, you know, in 2020, it's like, a phone call.
Yeah.
But I think like play it by ear in each one. But if it's like, yeah, if it's like a Target or Kmart or, you know,
yeah.
Walmart or something like that, like, easily call and see
yeah.
what's up. See where they are in the hiring process.
Yeah.
And also, you know, maybe lower your expectations, because finding a job is really hard.
Really
so
hard.
If you're kind of putting your heart into all of this, if you're imagining what every job is going to be like and you're already kind of living it, then you are going to be hurt and discouraged. But cast a wider net,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Talk
maybe
to people around you
mm-hmm.
and see what if they know anyone. Because it's like most of my jobs I've got because I knew someone. Not
yeah.
because I was best friends with someone. It's because I asked about it.
Yeah.
I was
yes.
like, hey, what have you seen? Do you know anyone at this place? Do you know anyone here? Do you know about this? And like they're like, oh, I have a friend of a cousin that da-da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
And let me see what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I harassed friends with my sketch packet. And that's honestly how I got
no,
here, because I
great.
Just like was like, hey, would you be willing to look at my sketch packet and then pass it along if anyone's ever looking for someone? And so, you know, really just put all the numbers out there. And I don't think about all the packets I sent out to people who did nothing with it, because
mm-hmm.
I can't focus on that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I can focus on eventually I got the job. And also, if you're trying to light a fire under your ass, run out of money. It definitely
Amen.
Makes you find a job real fast.
Well, yeah. you know, I'm always the type of personality that, yeah, if I run out of money, I'm going to be like doing a side hustle that's maybe
mm-hmm.
not my career, but, you know, it's helping me eat. I think that's just my personality type. I'm willing to like buckle down and get it done. But
yeah, especially if you know that it's temporary.
Exactly, exactly. And it can easily get discouraging job hunting. Yeah. And also the amount of jobs that are just like hiring full time right now is like so rare. So it's really like, how can you best situate yourself to have the best arsenal of things to fire off when you need to? Make sure that resume is solid. Make sure you know like how to talk to people. Work on your interview skills. Like all those things. So just when the opportunity does come, you'll be ready to go.
And you might not recognize it as the right opportunity if at that time. Like you may go to an interview for a job you don't really want and they want to hire you, but there's really... it can't hurt you to take the job, see how it is, and then decide from there, but collect the paycheck in the meantime.
And I did tweet this a while ago. Like, if you show up at a new job and the first week you're, like, overwhelmed, tired, crying, like, you feel out of it, that is normal. Do not quit your job after a week. And I'd say give it a month at least, if not three months. Because there's so much going on up in the air and you're going to be overwhelmed. And it's just really like the people that push through that and really, really like have a goal in mind of like, I want to really see what this is about and can I manage it in my life? Like those are the people that are really going to gear up for success.
I think also like I can't help but believe like we have a path that's happening and like we are meant to be wherever we're at. So like if you're being rejected and stuff like it's just not meant to be. I think staying positive and looking forward to when you do get that new job, like there's going to be so many new people in your life that you're going to be seeing all the time. Like look forward to wherever you go. Like don't dwell on the failed attempts because like there's no point.
And ask the people around you maybe who have a little more experience for advice. Yeah.
And don't be afraid to ask those questions.
Many of our friends, I've been like, send me your resume and given makeovers to, and then they go out and get a job.
Yeah, you've helped a lot of people with that.
Yeah, because I believe in sharing the love. Like, why do these people, you know, why do my friends and people that I care about, or even, I don't even have to care about them. I just want to help because it's like, I had to go through so many things. I had to make the mistakes. Why should they go through the mistakes? Like, I can help them. I can give them the cheat codes.
You never know when someone then is going to be in a position to be able to help you. Which is maybe that's a bad way to look at things.
No, but that's like it's nice.
Speaking of cheat codes, every job interview I've ever had, they always want to ask you what your three weaknesses are. Always have those planned ahead of time. Do not say you care too much. God damn, that makes you seem really ingenuine. I think I'm just going to give away the ones I've given.
Just be honest.
Mine were always, I am not great with names sometimes. I lose track of time, which sometimes can be seen as a good thing because I'll just like keep working. Or that might be seen as I'm being late, but I'll let them take that as they will. And then I had one third one that was really good. But yeah, always have those prepared and practicing interviewing.
I say being humble.
I say I'm too pretty. I'm too smart. I'm too humble.
And too horny.
Ooh.
Yeah, I do a fourth one.
I'm too horny for this work.
That's the fourth.
I'm too horny for
too
this
horny.
World.
Too horny. And number five, I give too many examples. Also,
I don't know how to count.
Oh, yeah, I had a story.
And number nine.
I once tried to help a friend with a resume once, and she was at my house. This was years ago. She's at my house, and this is the friend I cut out of my life. She was at my house, and I was about to go work for a few hours, and she was trying to figure out her resume. She needed a job. She like was already living in LA and was trying to figure it out. Didn't have a job, so I showed her my resume, and then showed her a template to like type her own in. And then a couple hours later, I came back from work, and she was like still there working, and I saw that she was just copying mine, completely copy pasting my resume, and that was really sad. So don't do that. Don't just copy what you see. Make it your own.
Make it easy to read. Make it one page. I don't care if you had 100 jobs. One page.
And also, don't advertise that you've had 100 jobs. That means that you left 100 jobs.
Just put what's appropriate to it. Yeah. And if you don't have anything appropriate to it, put what you have and then be honest about it.
Okay. This one is also a job. Do you want to do this one?
Okay.
Sure.
How to survive a job you hate but need till you find a new one. So,
well, we kind of just talked about that.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to hustle. If you got an end game, you just buckle down and do it.
And do things that you like outside of work that make you happy and feel fulfilled. If there are people you like at work, foster those friendships.
Yes.
And then sometimes you got to tell yourself, when you have to do something you don't want to do, that's what the money's for.
Yes,
it sucks, exactly.
But that's what the money's
for. At the end of the day, a job is a job, and you're not always going to do the things you like.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I think, like, unfortunately, is getting lost in all this, like, treat yourself, love yourself, da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, we're going to treat ourselves and love ourselves, but also sometimes we just got to fucking work.
And challenge ourselves.
And we got to challenge ourselves.
But do have a light at the end of the tunnel, something
yeah.
that
yeah.
you're working towards of, like, this is the job I
yeah.
really wish I had,
yep.
and how do I get there?
Exactly.
Make that happen for myself.
Yeah.
I will say, like, and it's speaking to surrounding yourself with the people at work that you like and spending the time with them, like, I learned at previous jobs being with people that I disliked very much, but learning to coexist with people that you dislike. That was something very valuable,
mm-hmm.
like a tool that I learned was just how to coexist with people that you just don't agree with and don't
mm-hmm.
vibe with. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's a very important tool because there will be shitty people everywhere you
mm-hmm.
go.
Mm-hmm.
And that shouldn't ruin who you are.
Yeah, find the silver linings also in that job if there are any. Like, for me, when I used to waitress on top of working a production job, is I really like to, like, talk to random people and tell them about beers. Like, that was my silver lining, was, like, what other job do you, like, walk up to strangers and you're, like, just starting a conversation?
Or if there are, like, sodas in the break room, take two every day, bring them home. Look forward to that.
This one I personally really look forward to answering. Are you both in therapy? Are we all in therapy?
I am not in therapy.
I got dumped by my therapist.
What? Can we talk about that? Can you tell the story? Can you tell the story,
yeah, yeah,
please?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So I started going to therapy. I, like, this was, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 months ago. I had been having really bad anxiety. One of the things that we were talking about was how I overthink everything, and I, like, just overanalyze stuff. I assume
relatable.
That...
Yeah, very right, relatable.
I assume that people think the worst of me when... I mean, I'm sure the reality is that they don't think of
they
me at all,
yeah.
which would be tight. No,
which
I'm good with that.
Which would be tight.
I'm good with that. Mustard is fine.
This was maybe my third session, and we started the session off with talking about this thing I do and how hard on myself I am and how that's not reality and stuff. And 20 minutes into the session, she's like, oh, by the way, I am going to be taking a break from doing therapy. I can set you up with another therapist in this office. And it felt like it came in the middle of the sentence to me. So
wow,
I was like,
oh, no.
Consider this right now.
She's and like, then, this is the moment I've been... It's in the movie where she's like, I need to quit being
yeah.
a therapist.
Wait, okay. So
I'm like, oh, yeah, I mean, this is kind of out of the way for me. So I don't really want to see another therapist in the office. You're just taking a break. Are you going to get back into it? And then she was really dodgy with me about it. She was like, oh yeah, in a few months, you could just look me up, I'll be working somewhere in Burbank. Like, was really weird about it.
No.
So this is a therapy nightmare, so maybe this isn't helpful, but we ended the session early. It was supposed to be an hour session. We ended it after 35 minutes.
Oh my God. No. Did you have to pay for the full session?
I paid the copay. My insurance covered. So I left, and I was just so dumbfounded because I'm like,
that's weird.
And I thankfully had the presence of mind to think it's funny that I'm talking about how I think people secretly hate me. And then, like, my therapist is just like, I don't do therapy anymore. Bye. Don't call me.
You made her quit.
The fuck?
Or, yeah, she essentially, like,
she
in a
like,
nice way, ghosted me. That being said, I'm going to get back into it. It's scary at first to be like, I'm going to talk to this person, a new person, about this stuff. And
yeah, starting over must be...
I went to therapy when I was in my teens.
Okay.
And it was very beneficial for me.
Why, were you a bad girl?
Bad girl.
No, I had some things I had to work through.
Oh, yeah.
Being bad, you know.
Well, the question is from @SmoshTour. Wow, they got that at.
Whoa, you guys are going to be on tour when this is live.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of which, we still have tickets left for San Diego and Phoenix, which is happening You know, that's the
yeah. How's the tour going so far?
It's going so great. You know, one day we'll be like the Tiny Meat Gang and be able to record these while on tour. Yeah, we still have tickets in San Diego and Phoenix. If you want to come, please. It's going to be really fun.
It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
So yeah, at Smosh Tour, you secured that at. What are your guys' experiences going to therapy? I've considered trying it out, but don't know much about it. So I will just say to that, like, sometimes it's also like finding the right therapist, and sometimes yeah. like you think you've like, yeah, this therapist is doing their job, but like sometimes they'll fucking ghost you, and like, clearly they weren't there for you fully.
They're humans
so,
too. Yeah, it's like, but dating, you gotta find your right person, you gotta find your right therapist. But I think if you're genuinely needing that in your life, like, do it.
I think everybody needs it.
Yeah.
I think if you are, especially if your insurance covers therapy, do it. Even if you don't think you need it, it's great to have someone to talk at.
Yeah, and if you have health insurance, and if, I think this is mostly an American thing, if you use psychologytoday.com, you can find a therapist under your insurance. I found my therapist through that. She ended up not being under my insurance, but her bio, because like you see their profile, what they specialize in, and I'm sure there's other websites that are equivalent to this in other places, but her bios just spoke to me in a way that I understood compared to the other ones. And we talked on the phone, and like we were laughing on the phone, and I was like, this is cool, we're clicking. And she's the best. Like, I would invite her to my wedding if it wasn't weird, you know?
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't want people... I don't know.
When's your wedding, Courtney?
Tomorrow.
Yay! I didn't get an invite.
I'm marrying myself. No, I don't know. But, like, she's that level. I think I got very lucky, though, because I feel like I've heard people will have gone to therapy for a while, and they will, I feel like they're not always utilizing their therapist in the best way.
Well, I mean, it's a two-way street.
Yes.
So it's like the therapy can't hurt you or can't help you.
if you're not
being open, if you're just like, totally. Yeah, I'm like, you know, the sky's blue and I had a burger today. Like, you're just not going to be able to unpack anything.
Or if you're not willing to put in the work. Because I think that acknowledging that there's something that you need to change is the easy part.
Yep.
Even though that's obviously a huge thing of being like, oh, I do this thing. I've identified it, but then working through it and changing
that's
work, and it's not fun and it's not easy.
And it's very, very hard, yeah.
But then you get to be a better person.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I have this knack of wanting to face my issues or face issues head on. So I think I got lucky in the sense that I went into therapy and I was just like, I'm afraid that I'm crazy. Like, I just listed out all my fears. I literally, the can of worms was open and poured out on the table because I was just like, this is their job. Like, they need to handle this. And if they can't handle this, then I'll go to the next one. And I think I've said this before, but it's like, this is literally someone that you're paying to tell them whatever you want, whatever you feel about a person or what you like. It is your diary out in the world, and like, they are that person to tell you, like if you're like, am I crazy or is this normal? Because one of the things I've learned so much is like, hey, that's normal that you're feeling that. Mm-hmm. No, you're not crazy for thinking this thing or validating your feelings, mm-hmm. because there are some like, sometimes you just have friends or relationships where they don't fully understand your day or what you're going through, but you will.
And especially if you find the right therapist and you go to them for a while, then they are that person who fully understands
exactly.
you. And it's mm-hmm. best to get them before any crazy shit happens.
Well, yeah. And it's like, it's the same thing of like what you said earlier about bullying yourself and talking to like yourself as a kid. Like, those are the things that if you were to say those things to your friends, it would honestly like hurt the relationship.
Yeah.
It would hurt your friends.
Oh my gosh. 'Cause
it's like, for me, it's like, I don't want my friend talking about herself like that.
Yes. Yeah.
But those are the things you unpack in therapy.
Yes.
And that doesn't affect your actual relationships.
And it's
real life.
A person that you like, that is their job. That's what they're there for. So you're not that friend who's just like rolling up to everyone with their weird emotional baggage and dumping your stuff on your friends. Because obviously, you know, your friends want to be there for you and stuff, but don't.
If you're
be the
only
person
a,
who's
yeah,
just
ground,
don't make
yeah.
don't make other people responsible for those things.
Yep.
Like, and a therapist will be that person who's like, if I'm like, I just feel like I'm so stupid, and she'll be like, whoa, stop, don't call yourself that, and she'll catch you in that moment right mm-hmm. then. Because if take off that filter when you're with a therapist.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
Because if you go to a therapist, don't try and say things in the nicest way or the best way possible, because that is not, like, just say it how you want to say it, because, like, that helps them. It's literally, like, helps them understand you and fix the problems. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been going to mine for over a year now, and, like, just last week, I realized that there was something that I hadn't addressed and I needed to talk about, like, all the time. Even when I don't think I have anything to talk about, I'll come out and be like, I had been crying or I'm like fully healed about something. And it's just, I'm so lucky that they were there and ready to understand me.
Yeah,
so.
That's awesome. Yeah. And when I went to therapy, it was monumental. It was really like, it was actually life-saving for me. So I think it's like, if you're willing to sit down and like, looking at yourself is the hardest thing to do. And really addressing what is wrong with me and not hating yourself over it and realizing you're human is very, very hard. But it's super necessary if you want to be healthy, mm-hmm. like, mentally and with your relationships. Because as soon as you work on yourself, everything else will, like, click into place a little better.
And I had a lot of friends growing up that genuinely needed therapy. And they just completely would shut the idea down because they think only crazy people go to therapy. I feel like that's kind of old news and old stuff now. But yeah, it is a preemptive band-aid, I feel like, when there's nothing wrong, and then it is the band-aid on mm-hmm. whatever you mm-hmm. need help on. Mm-hmm. Well, we have how to de-stress.
I like the de-stress one because it's like, we'll end it on a nice note.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So this will help you de-stress for the rest of your day, for those of you who are starting your day with this pod.
Uh-huh. And this pod is making you really stressful.
Yeah, we're stressed the hell out. Or it's the end of the day and it's time to de-stress from the day.
Yes.
Here we are. Let's do it. So the tweet is from @BlueBellaBunny.
That's
cute. Yeah, that is cute. Hey, freshman in college here. Just wondering, is there a good way to lower stress levels? Because second semester is kicking my butt. Any tips or tricks would be awesome. Love you guys. Love you.
How do you de-stress, Courtney?
Yeah. It's on and off with my abilities to de-stress. But therapy is a great help in at least understanding why things stress me out. Because sometimes I'm just stressed out about things to be stressed out about things. Mapping out what you're stressed about. Something I've learned is you take out a notebook, write out what's stressing you out. And sometimes those things aren't really worth stressing over and you just gotta let go.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. And then, or if there's clearly a stress there, how do you plan on addressing it? Or how would you feel better if that thing would disappear? How can you make that thing disappear? Because sometimes when you're stressed out, your brain kind of just becomes spaghetti mm-hmm. and like you gotta
write it out.
You wanna write it out, comb out that pasta. And just figure out what's really the issue. I know. I don't know.
I like that visual.
Yeah,
I want to comb pasta now.
Yeah. Turn that mess into an organized mess and then, you know, get rid of the unimportant stuff. Because, like, I will find myself stressing over things that there's no point. And the answer to those stresses is, like, this has been my mantra for a long time, is detach from outcome. At the end of the day, you can't always control what's happening,
well,
but you can control how you react.
You can't. Exactly. Yep.
And you can find a lesson in the negative things and be thankful for the positive things. And then, like, breathing. Just stop and breathe. Like, when you're stressed and you're feeling overwhelmed, just go outside, just breathe. If you don't have a notebook on you, because mm-hmm. sometimes we don't always have that when we're, like, in the middle of something. But and then just sometimes just, like, looking at the faces of the people you care about.
Aww,
I just feel like, I just
it's weird that you mostly looked at Sarah when you said that. You just kind of looked past
you. Just switched past you.
Yeah.
I care about you, Monica. I care about you.
Your insecurities are coming out.
Yes. I'm comparing you two.
Who's better? Don't answer that.
No, you're both amazing in your own ways. Just those people are there for a reason.
That a lot. And that's great.
They're always there for you, even when you feel like, I don't feel like unloading my stresses on this person. You don't have to. Like, they're this positive energy in your life that is just there for a reason, and they'll help you, even just by existing. Yes. So yeah. What about you guys?
For me, Claudio helps me a lot. He always, like, when I'm, like, losing my mind, sometimes he'll, well, he calms me down most of the time, yeah. And then sometimes I'm just not consolable, but, so he's there. Obviously, the cats, 1,000% the cats. Yeah. And, like, I used to, like, laugh at my mom because she would always, like, growing up, she would just go to the dogs and be, like, and I'm like, dude, if we didn't have the dogs, mom would, like, be murdering us. And it's like, now I understand because I come home and they're just, like, following me and meowing me and they don't talk and you just, like, they're just so wonderful. So definitely the pets, like, help me out 1,000,000%. Like, they really are just, like, support and just make my house feel like a home, and it's just, like, wonderful. And then for me, it's like the small rewards that help me get through it. So for me, I like getting massages done.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or going to the Korean spa, or
the
even
gym.
Just
I mean I have
to force myself to go to the gym because my body feels so much better when I go to the gym. Mm-hmm. So I'm working on that this year. That's the one thing I'm trying to work on, loving my body a little more and being less frustrated with it and treating it better. So that's like 2020 goal for me. Those are the things. Maybe like a little, you know, treat, like a meal, like a little pad thai that's like naughty.
Yes.
But not going overboard. So it's like all a balancing act with that. But yeah, just the little tiny rewards, something to look forward to is always really
Target always makes me feel better. Even just walking around, even if I don't really like buy much.
Oh my God,
like,
Target stresses me out so much.
Really?
Yes.
Oh God. God.
And,
I don't know.
And also makeup, actually. As dumb as that sounds, it's like really fun because it's a hobby of mine that I get to do every day.
It's a form of meditation, too. Yeah.
It's anything that you can do where you are shutting off the part of your brain that's like, these are the things I have to do. And then you're doing something that requires all your focus, but it's something you enjoy. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's going to the gym, specifically climbing, because that's all I'm thinking about in that moment. Mm-hmm. Cooking is a great one because it uses my hands, it uses my mind. Like, everything is in use, so the worrying part of my brain is just shut off.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to do things with your hands. So
I agree. Yeah, for me, it's like painting. I get to wake up every morning and paint. And so that's what I do when I like put on my makeup. It's just like this nice thing. I'm trying to get into more hobbies and I want to read more books, but you know, it's hard and I want to get back into sewing. I used to like sew and knit and do all those things. Oh. So I want to get back into them.
And even if it's something as simple as like building a Lego thing or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Just something that requires
something to
that
quiet
your
mind.
Hands.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, that's great. I like that. I had something. Oh, no. That was a separate thing.
All right.
So that was my brain doing its thing.
She de-stressed so much.
I thought I had one last thing on how to de-stress.
What's your guys' like favorite smells? I was just asked this on Grace Helbig's podcast, but what's your favorite like de-stressing smell?
I love vanilla. Relaxes me. I think it's because my stepmom, when I was younger, she was like this amazing energy. So now the smell of vanilla is just completely relaxing to me. Cinnamon apple.
Oh, very fall. You're very fall.
Yeah, very autumnal.
Yeah. And then there's some like Urban Outfitters candles that really do the trick for me, like teak wood and tobacco.
Tobacco?
Teakwood and tobacco. It doesn't smell like tobacco, but it's a lovely calming smell. Mm.
Oh.
What about you guys?
For me, it depends. So I like, as a smell, I like sandalwood and I like jasmine a lot. But something that always feels a little calming is the smell of onions and garlic cooking, because food is such a comfort thing. My mom always cooked. I cook.
Yeah.
So that anchors me and makes me feel like I'm home. So that's a very just
calming
smell.
That's the smell of white rice to me, honestly.
Yeah.
It calms me when I'm sick or something. I love just having like rice and kimchi, and that just like calms me because of the smell and the taste and everything. Mm-hmm. I really like minty. I like eucalyptus.
Oh, yeah.
I like spearmint, and I like citrus, but they're all toxic to cats.
Mm.
So be aware if you're into essential oils. that there are lots that are toxic to cats and dogs. So be careful with those. And I also, well, this is like a weird thing and it's totally side, but I love the smell of like laundry exhaust. You know when you're like drawing, when you're drying something in the dryer, yes, and then it was like had a pipe going out and it was like that exhaust. So when I was younger, I used to like stand under them and like, like I loved how that smelled. Probably not okay.
Oh, dude, I love the smell of gas burning, like a two-stroke engine,
or like a gas station car.
Yeah.
I don't know why I love that.
Or like campfire wood, when you smell like campfire for a little bit, that's nice too.
The smell of asphalt and when it starts raining, that's a great smell.
Love that.
I hate that one.
Isn't there like a term for that smell? Really?
There's a Japanese word for it, but I don't know what the actual
smells like
Japanese.
Dirt to me.
I don't know what it is. I think it's a childhood smell of like being on the blacktop and like, and then the gas station or like the smell of boat fuel. Like it was just pretty much straight up gasoline, but like childhood thing of the days. I think
Petrichor is the name of the asphalt smell.
Petrichor. Wow.
Petrichor. I think that was a word. That was a spelling bee word.
Yes. That's why I was like,
that sounds really familiar. Oh, the smell. Smell is like the top memory, like callback.
Yes.
So if you smell a smell, like your memory will like instantly. Yeah. Like, you know, your ex's cologne, and you're like,
And then there's definitely like essential oils. I know that it is can be toxic to cats, but those are also can be very calming.
They're very calming. Your research, please. Yes.
But hopefully that was all helpful to you guys,
especially that de-stressing. Hopefully that was a good way to. I think that's a great way to end the podcast.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, let's get out of here.
Now carry on with the rest of your days. Like that. Take what we've given you and go.
Do you want to shout out anything in particular?
Yeah, it's time to do all the stuff.
Okay.
Well, do you guys have anything you're working on or you want to shout out right now?
Me personally?
Yeah, like on your own time? The painting?
Painting my face?
Your nails? Can't wait to see what's next with your nails, Sarah.
I'm gonna glue all the ones that fell off back on.
Hell yeah.
See how long that lasts.
Recycled art.
Let's see how long that lasts.
If they don't stick, can I have them?
Yes. Well, it's because I've been working out so much and they just fall off and you can't look cute while working out and it just freaking sucks because it's like literally all I have right now because I'm trying to prove myself. It's fine. I'm fine, guys. De-stress.
What about you, Mon? You got anything? What's up, money?
Shout out to my son.
Love your son.
Don't listen to this.
Shout out to my son.
Oh, Arlo has started saying "oh shit" when he drops stuff.
Oh no!
Who did he learn it from?
My wife and I have been arguing over that.
Amazing.
I don't know. We don't know which one of us it is. Sometimes he says "uh-oh," which is very cute, and then he's just like "oh shit."
And you're like, shit, no.
Oh, my God.
Oh, shit. He said, oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
So shout out to that.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Shout out to cute baby stuff. Another shout out. We have some new merch in the merch store. It's some cute stuff. I'm very excited about it. We got an Academy Weird Sounds shirt.
Heck yeah.
We've got a diary shirt. It's
called No
More Boys.
And it's so soft, too.
It's so cool.
Oh, I would love that shirt.
Yeah.
And then we've got a Smosh floral hoodie. And then we're doing a throwback shirt that's just got Shut Up all over it. And a little secret. All of us in the office wrote Shut Up, including the cast.
Ooh. So.
Yeah, so I'm loving
like
this. I'm very excited. I'm looking at the pictures right now. If you guys love these podcasts, keep listening or keep watching. If you're watching, keep watching them on the Smoshcast YouTube channel. Subscribe. Thank you if you already have. And hit that bell if you don't want to miss the next one. Full video episodes come out on Fridays, but if you want to listen to the full audio episode sooner, it's on all your listening apps, and those come out on Wednesdays.
I like the pose at the end.
Guys, we just casted a pod.
Whoa.
Yeah, we casted that pod.
We did. Good game, God. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.